Thanks so much, Greg. I'm backstage with our wonderful soloist, Lise De La Salle. Lise, welcome back to Philadelphia and congratulations on a beautiful performance.
Thank you so much.
You're a young artist and you've made quite a sensation in Europe and here in America. For our audience who would like to know more about you, let's talk a little bit about your musical background. Were your family musicians?
They love music. My mom used to sing in a choir. My grandma was a piano teacher. We had a piano at home. That was my grandma's piano. And I guess very spontaneously, I started to just touch it. And my mother decided to put me in a conservatoire. And I started then very smoothly and just in a very gentle way. And I just loved it so much that I never stopped. Of course, I practiced and worked, and I still feel very lucky to have met the right people at the right time. So between the age of 13 and the age of 15, I had made my debut in Paris, I had made my first recording, and I had a management. So it was really like a dream.
Today was supposed to be Andre Watt's 60th anniversary concert with the Philadelphia Orchestra, and he had to bow out due to cancer treatment, and you stepped in. Andre Watt's own career was launched in a big way in his teens when he stepped in for an ailing Glenn Gould, and he performed with the New York Philharmonic and Leonard Bernstein. Do you see any parallels here?
If I let my imagination free, yes, of course, because that's a beautiful story and we all dream to recreate those beautiful stories. Right now I feel the luckiest girl on earth because playing one of the most beautiful concerto, Beethoven 4th, with this unique orchestra, Philadelphia, was one of my favorite maestro, Fabio Luisi, that I've been playing with on all continents. It's like my dream cast. And so I feel like this is maybe destiny, and the echo is really strong and powerful in me. And I want to believe that my good star put me here.
Do you have any good wishes you want to send to Mr. Watts?
Of course. You know, I never had the pleasure to meet him personally, but I grew up with his legend. It feels like huge and unreal to be here playing and stepping in for him. And it's a huge pleasure. It's a huge honor. I, of course, wish him the best and a quick recovery, and please more concerts and more music.
Speaking of stars and celestial things, this Beethoven concerto is so unique. There are moments of such celestial beauty. It almost feels like a late work.
It's true. There is this kind of magic sun and light in this piece. Also the tonality, G major, is like so open and so bright. It feels almost very late testimony work. If he had found peace and no more struggle. No more struggle in the first and last movement. The second movement is maybe the most incredible, dramatic, struggling piece. It's so full of strength. It's like a big fight between the orchestra and the piano, like between faith and hope, human hope. And it just moves you so deeply.
We know that Beethoven was a great pianist, and he was always thinking orchestrally, so a lot of his passage work is very awkward or difficult. What are some of the big challenges in this concerto?
Yeah, you're right, absolutely. Beethoven music is always orchestra music. It's also, for me, what makes his music so enjoyable when once you pass the challenges of playing it and understanding how he writes for the piano and all the colors. It makes you feel like you are a full orchestra with your 10 fingers. It's like a huge symphony. It's being part of this bigger thing than just piano or just orchestra.
You seem to think very deeply about your music. Is teaching something that you would like to do, imparting your ideas to younger people?
You know, I do as many masterclasses as I can, and teaching is a passion that I discovered a little bit by chance, because my first masterclass was here in this country, in the US. And I was asked to do it when I was 18. And I thought, oh my God, I'm too young. And I still did it because I was curious. I have that curiosity in me. And indeed, I had students that were older than me. So it was a little bit strange, but it went very well. And then I was asked more and more. And I now really try to do as much as I can. I know this interview is not maybe a place to advertise that, but I would like to find a position to teach more regularly and to see young students grow.
You have such a busy life. What do you do for relaxation?
One of the first things is go to the gym or do some yoga or do something to put the stress away, because this life is so challenging for the body as for the spirit and for the mind that you need to just sweat it out. After that, I was very lucky to grow up in a family where art, music and also paintings were very, very important. My grandfather was an art gallerist and his father also, and in Paris, part of the Paris school. So there is this big tradition of art in my family. So I try to see as many exhibits as I can. And traveling so much is great for that, because you might have missed it in Paris and next year it's in New York and you see it in New York. That feeds me as a human being and as an artist, I guess, also. The last thing is I'm a real French. I love to eat and I love to drink good wines. So I always enjoy going out and trying new restaurants. And also traveling is amazing for that.
It is. And we're so glad you're here in Philadelphia, one of the new foodie capitals.
Absolutely. And I already tried an amazing Japanese place yesterday night. And I'm looking forward to new experiences.
Well, you certainly deserve it. It was so wonderful to speak with you and to meet you, Lise.
Such a pleasure, Deborah. Thank you so much.